Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow. You guys can hear that, right?
Mm-hmm. The chimes?
Yeah. Yeah, the wind blowing. Just in case everybody knows, you know, it's blowing
30 miles
there.
An hour?
Yeah, it is blowing out there.
Time to get some KOMs.
I'll get to that here in a minute. Before we begin, you know, it's that time to let everybody know that this is the official Packfiller Good or Summer. As you know, we here at Packfiller only endorse products and services that we truly believe in. We use them, we enjoy their services, and so on. So we have been given a specific amount of discount codes just for you, our friends at the Packfiller, for 15% off your purchase. If you take into account that Gooders are already the most affordable quality eyewear out there, that makes this even better of a deal. Use the code PACKFILLER15, all one word, and two numbers at the end, 15, PACKFILLER15, to get your discount on non-slip polarized stylish shades for both on and off the bike. Make sure to use it wisely. In other words, make sure you grab a couple of pair at the discount. So the PACKFILLER's Gooder Summer officially is underway. So let's start the show. Jack's not here yet. Jack's running late. Shocker.
Yep. Maybe he had to take his booties off.
His fenders?
His booties. Remember, he
oh, yeah, he got dropped. Yeah, he got dropped.
That's probably what happened.
That sounds about right.
Fucking Jack. So you went green on air. That's not very...
That's not supposed to be green. I hit the yellow button. See the yellow?
Uh-huh. It lies.
Yeah. Now, if I hit green...
It's blue.
It's blue. It's fucking blue. Green? Okay, that's green.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They're yellow.
Does that look yellow?
No.
The audience has no idea what I'm talking about. I can go to that and they can see that camera. But it's not. It's...
Oh, well.
And the trim around the bars. The closest I could get to yellow, too.
That's, oh, really, no, that's close. Closer.
That's very
is
close.
Is it closest? Yeah.
Sorry.
I try hard.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
I just want everybody to know that I'm not slacking. I'm doing the work. Holy shit. When did summer arrive? Things are heating up. Local races have disappeared, which means it's officially summer. And most importantly, the Tour de France, or France, if you're Bob Roll, starts in just a few days. Welcome to the Tour de France kickoff episode of the Packfiller Podcast. I am Pat Bulger. We have the gang. Well, I wrote we have the gang all together, but Jack's not fucking here yet. So let's ask a random question sent by you, the best cycling podcast listener out there.
Here he is. Here he is.
Jack's here.
He got his booties flying off.
Did you get your booties off?
Yeah. You got dropped.
You're looking confused. Did you see him do that twisted head thing like a random...
Like a dog. Like,
yeah, huh?
Don't you remember in the race you took your booties off and got dropped? And
you can get a beer.
I forgot.
What? Now, or you probably... You probably want over here. The theme is over already, and I even got to the questions because we're just waiting on your candy ass.
Yeah, candy.
Well, he was in Hawaii.
Sunburned candy ass. Yeah, that's an athletic.
Well, I love athletic.
There we go.
I do too. Nice sponsor mention. I believe that's this one. Yeah, there we go. So now that Jack's here, we can say we have a whole
you
gang
take
together.
My shirt off?
No, that's. Please respond with the one dish, and I put one in capitalizations for this one for you, that you truly feel that you are a master of cooking.
Really?
The one dish, Jackson, you're fucked.
Oatmeal.
No. I was going to say top ramen.
No.
Hey, Captain Jackson's, Crunch.
You're better than that.
Yeah.
Well, let's not get, we'll get to it. First of all, he's the guy that made my day recently by simply announcing that he had gone hard on a ride that had kicked my ass. We were at the pub and you were like, God, I was in my 80 percentile most of that ride. And I was so happy. I was so happy because I was suffering. So anyway, Mr. Paul Main, how are you, man?
Good, good.
And what's the dish that you feel truly a master of preparing?
And I don't even eat it, but every time people come over, I make a salmon.
You don't eat it.
Mine. Yeah.
Why don't you eat it?
I hate salmon.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, I hate it.
How do you prepare your salmon? That was mine too.
It's very simple, and I poach it.
You put okay.
I poach it, and then it keeps that moisture. It doesn't.
You don't
dry
put the
up.
Mayonnaise on it or anything.
Nope,
like
no, no. Okay. Olive oil.
Mm-hmm. People do that.
A special lemon pepper blend that I
keep
have.
It moist.
And mm-hmm. then lemon. Simple.
I gotta think. Go to Jackson.
You said
he's gotta come.
First of all, welcome back, Jack. Because
I just
had to pull your mic level down because Brent was in your seat last week.
Somebody sat here and it's all fucked up.
Brent Soderberg, you can blame him.
Well, actually, the mic was actually where it needed to be, but now you moved it back down to.
I don't know.
Right about your lower lip. So salmon, really?
Yeah, and I hate it.
What's the side dish?
I don't do side dishes. Okay. I just do.
Can we all agree?
I just do meat.
Can we all agree that Copper River salmon is the biggest bullshit scam on the face of the earth?
No. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's bullshit, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. There we go. Next off, he's the guy that's been sitting on the beach for 2 weeks, but just might have bike news. Don't answer yet.
You were supposed to skip me.
No, Mr. Jack Broadhead.
You can use salmon.
Can I use salmon?
Yeah, challenge. So
tell me how you
prepare. I'm going steelhead.
Steelhead is good. That's what
steelhead
I usually use.
Will
but
you eat
salmon.
Steelhead?
No.
Do you eat any
I get
fish?
Closer. I do cod.
Whoop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just do cod.
You're
start
kind
over.
Of a white flaky. Do you like fish and chips?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
So
anyway,
I have a I truly have a problem with fish and chips. I enjoy the taste, but it makes me sick afterwards because it's just like
so much
batter and grease and stuff like that. I'm just like, oh, that was.
Is there a certain batter you can deal with, or like, you know, I mean, everybody does a beer batter or they do a panko or whatever. Is there a certain batter that you can't deal with?
I have no idea.
Mm. Okay, and maybe it's just the massive amount of grease.
Yeah, tell me your dish.
Well, it was salmon, but I'll just switch
you
to steelhead. But I'd prepare it the same, actually. Uh-huh. So, and I'm a lemon, onion, maybe a little bit of parsley, butter chips in broiling it on the barbecue. So I take like foil and I'll lay it in the foil. And
I knew when I saw this question that we were fucked if Jack was here because his Instagram is Chef Jack. Yeah.
You can see pictures of this steelhead. But anyway, I'll fold a foil tray and I put that on the barbecue.
I do the same.
And it just it grabs the skin and it pulls. So like when you go to grab the meat, the skin stays apart.
To the foil.
So you grill the foil.
Pretty
which
much.
Is instant Alzheimer's when you grow older.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
What day is it? Is it Tuesday?
Where the fuck am I? We already had it, so.
Okay. But you already had Alzheimer's, or you already had the salmon?
That and a little bit
crazy
of
cold out there.
So my other dish was going to be a New York strip, and I discovered jalapeno mashed potatoes. They're green. They have a hint of jalapeno. You puree the jalapeno. Mm-hmm. It's not hot, but you get the back hit of
I know we got to move on but I came
you get
across
the throat hit of jalapeno
a what
came throat in, hit
throat hit
yeah, yeah I think that's a smoking term.
Throat punch
no it's a smoke it's not Fight Club it's
I want to call it throat punch it's I do want to call it throat punch
I was at a restaurant I can't remember and jalapeno mashed potatoes was on the
I had it in
and
Maui.
I almost grabbed that just for those spuds
I had it in Maui and it's fucking amazing.
Well, there you go.
It's a dinner within itself. And the next day you can do hash browns or you can potato pancakes.
I'm glad you said brown after hash.
Hash. You but you could fry potato.
Third, he's the guy that has picked a date already, everybody. Whoa. He has picked a date.
Next week?
Yep, we're doing it next week.
Yep. At the show, live?
Yeah, is that crazy? We're gonna podcast the wedding.
Nice.
I actually need all three of you to get a married, like, to be able to marry us.
Yeah. So, Renee can't. She's certified. Yeah. She married our son.
Is she really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow.
Mr. Jackson Bulger, how are you, man?
Doing well, thank you.
Not to put you on the spot, but do you have a dish?
It's gonna be a quick one. I don't usually do the cooking.
You're getting new at this, man. We're not gonna bust your chops.
Yeah, and it's not because I'm the man. It's just because she likes to cook way more than I do.
Sure.
So, I do spaghetti and meatballs. That's about it. Make my own meatballs, do the whole... I do frozen meatballs.
No. The Costco brilliant. Ones the Costco ones are really good.
Yeah, Albertsons has some really pretty good ones.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Frozen?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
The Italian style.
And you?
Yeah.
Never.
Me, I'm the guy who really should have started yard work in the spring.
it's just I'm spring Pat Bulger. Now.
No, right. It's summer, Jack. Damn it. It's been summer for about 2 weeks. Or a week and a half. Yeah. My dish that I feel I've mastered, I'm stuck between two, and you guys are going to bust my balls on both of them, because the first one I'm going to say is I make a mac and cheese, a homemade mac and cheese.
That's good.
With Gruyere, with Parmesan, with cheddar. No, I make it in the on the stove and then in the oven.
With the roux.
Yeah, with the roux and with breadcrumbs and actually.
Do you make
mac and cheese with broccoli?
Breadcrumbs?
No, I don't make my own breadcrumbs.
Okay. at Thanksgiving, I do.
But, do you really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Well, stuffing.
I was going to also say my second is actually I'm pretty damn good at making a homemade pizza of all different styles. I do a lot of different homemade pizzas.
Do you have a wood-fired oven?
Nope. I do one on the grill, though. I do make one on the grill. Mm-hmm. A lot of times during the winter months, I don't do any grill. I just
you need a grill
have a pizza
inset
stone.
into your garage,
you know,
like I have.
I keep asking.
You just... You put
do?
A grill under that. Yeah,
first, we need a urinal down here before.
Right. Yeah. Let's get priorities right. straight.
But you
right?
can put your grill under that carport. Okay.
That could
it's
be
so
cool.
nice to be here.
It is. It's nice to have you, Jack. So, Jack, talk to us.
I don't get to talk to anybody like this.
You've been in Hawaii for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You didn't bring
I've
a bike.
Never been to Hawaii.
You didn't bring a bike.
I didn't. I regret it, but I'm going back.
Okay.
And I'll.
I'm gonna bust your chops because it's a cycling
definitely
podcast.
Definitely bringing. A bike next
What's,
time.
What,
it's amazing.
Speaking of bikes.
Mm. Oh, you're going to leave Maui and go right to bikes.
Yeah, because you don't have anything to say about bikes
and it's
in
a,
Maui.
And it's a 90-minute
really cool,
podcast.
I really met a cool bike shop owner.
Did you really?
Yeah.
In Maui.
He traveled. Yes, he traveled back in 87 with Undum. From Colorado, Boulder area to Super Week. He also ran he was a coach, brought juniors up to about our age from Louisiana. I don't remember. Back then,
yeah.
50, they're not
50-year-old junior. Yeah. That's
you
fucking
know,
creepy.
I mean, you can be what you want to be.
Yeah. There we go. That's today's society. Yeah.
But anyway, great guy, the owner of Maui Cyclery. His name's Don. So it was good. I wish I had a bike there.
Very cool.
And there was a bike race this weekend there.
Oh, what?
Up a volcano.
Oh, I wouldn't do that one.
So give us an update, Jack.
So
everybody wants to know, what's your bike update?
My bike's
the Argon, right? Argon 18.
Yes. Argon 18.
My bike's really hot.
Gallium Pro 2021 edition. Because
it's fucking outdated already.
No. Well, it is probably 11-speed SRAM Red, but it is the
ETAP.
The reason ETAP, it's discs, of course. Envy wheels, carbon FSA bars. But anyway, the reason I went with this bike was the geometry is very classic. It's not an aero bike. It's got some.
I keep waiting for the two of you guys because your perfect bookends on this. Because
right.
usually
aero,
when the aero Jackson nods on the disc brakes, Paul
then,
shakes his head on the aero Paul.
Yeah,
would, it's so funny. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. I got it in shot right now.
So there was one podcast about on a month or two ago that I said, I'm not getting one. I don't get it. They just can't get one.
Yeah.
They actually changed the Gallium Pro to like something like a Gallium CS or CX or something like that. And it,
all they had to do is add two letters and they could get it.
And it cost more and
because of the two letters.
And they made it flat black and they lowered it to whatever's below SRAM red, whatever that is.
Force.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I told him, well, if I have to get that, I don't want it. I'll move on.
Because you don't want a flat black bike.
I don't want
because
all that.
You're two steps away from being a crit racer.
I don't want to be right. two steps.
First of all, you need a flat black bike. Second of all, you need a camera on your helmet. Oh. And third of all, you just need a mustache like mine.
I don't
and
have
you're an
any
immediate
of that.
Crit racer.
I didn't have any of that. So the bottom line is,
Jackson's like, do I even need to be here?
Yes.
No, I'm listening. This is fun.
Somehow, through Jim, he was able to talk to Argon Rep, and they were able to get me a 2021 frame and build at 2021 pricing, which is really amazing. It's probably
higher than 2022 because there was nothing. I'm joking.
Yeah. Go. So it's actually a little bit less expensive than the lesser bike that they're calling, you know, that is the 2022.
Wow.
And it showed up to Cooley, Idaho today. It's getting built right now. As we speak, I've been sending him pictures of a level with my reach and my stack.
Setting it up.
And yeah, so he's, because it came, you know, the hydraulics weren't hooked up, of that wasn't hooked up. So he's putting it all together right as we speak. He just lost power while I was driving up here.
Well,
me
fuck,
for the
that's going to slow him down. His compressor will work.
No, the torque wrench still works. So anyway, I'm there. I have a new bike.
Tomorrow.
Are you going to go there and pick it up?
Yeah, because Thursday I'm leaving for Vancouver and I won't be back all summer. So
this is Jack's last show
for
the summer.
Unless I'm back on a Tuesday. And then I'll ask you if I can come back for the day.
Well,
I know. You'll probably have Brent sitting here, which is, you know, Connecticut.
Brent's going to commute.
He's
got a heck of a commute.
Yeah, well. So anyway, that's my bike update is I own a 99.9% own a bike.
Take a first reaction picture so we can post it so people can see it? Because I do get constantly people at no.
Yep.
No. For no. Fuck's sake,
yes,
no.
Please.
Okay.
So you just want to show off your tan line. So
yeah, I kind of got, surfer tan going on.
You're next to a pretty long. I was waiting for you to come back and say, hey, I needed a baseball hat. Yeah. I gave it away to a random kid.
Nope. I saw no kids on Maui. There was no fucking kids on Maui. Allowed. No dogs, no kids, no snakes, no mosquitoes.
Wow.
Yep.
Sounds like paradise.
It is.
Except
I'm
for
moving
the
there after Vancouver.
Populous.
Why no mosquitoes?
I have no idea.
They just got rid of them.
Barely any flies. Wow. Barely any bugs.
Like, there's no shit.
There's geckos. There's mongooses. I think the mongooses take care of everything. They're crazy.
Jobby.
All over the place.
Hey, Paul and Jackson, how has the ride week gone? Paul and I, by the way, had a great ride on Saturday with Bike Fit Sam, so I'm going to mention that. And by the way, following it with post-ride beers is one of my most favorite things in the world. It's just I can only do it on days that I have nothing else to do that day. Because we went.
He failed after that.
No, I came home and I was just like, Michelle was gone for the weekend, so I just came home and I was just like.
You napped?
Yeah, I did. I'm not going to lie. I napped. I guess I'm going first. I did get right on Tuesday last week, as I did today. And Wednesday, I did the second to last mountain bike race. My last mountain bike race of the year. I'm going to be honest. It's tomorrow. Because we do the Wednesday night races series for May and June. And then it's like I just hang up my bike. And then next year in late April, I'll take the bike off the hook and I'll take the number off from last year and get ready to put on the next one this year. And then that ride on Saturday was great. It was hard. Uh-huh. How are you guys? How'd it go?
Mine was pretty mellow. After the chafe we did, I didn't really want to go all that hard. My first ride was on Wednesday, for that race, the mountain bike race. And then I rode Thursday just kind of, I rode by myself, but I rode hard. I was going down a street by my house, and the tailwind was so nice, and I was pushing so hard that I was able to hit 31 miles an hour on, it wasn't a downhill or anything, and some of the cars were going by me, like, not understanding what was going on, how I could keep, like, the same pace with them, so that made me feel kind of good.
With your mouth closed.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And then over the weekend,
texting.
Yeah.
Yeah, just taking it easy, you know. And then over the weekend, I didn't do anything just because I want to be fully sure that my knee doesn't really hurt that bad coming soon. So,
and you had familial obligations.
Yeah, and it was kind of
nice. Soon to be familial obligations.
Well, yeah. And then it's just kind of nice sometimes to not to take a little bit. I mean, I didn't take it off, but took it a little easier. So, yeah.
Paul, talk to me.
Yeah, I can't remember if I rode during the week or not because I'm aluminum almost 60. Foil. Yeah, aluminum foil.
Yep.
I don't need the salmon. Cooking just cooking salmon over with it. The foil. Yeah.
What? Man, I'm telling you.
It's just the fumes of the. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
guys,
yeah,
you guys are making fun of me, but, you know, if you ever smoked weed out of a can back in the day, this supposed to cause Alzheimer's.
In fourth grade.
But not the weed, but the can.
No, it's the can because the aluminum. Yeah, right.
All right.
I heard that.
Yeah.
It was fourth grade for me.
I think I can't.
Out of an aluminum can.
You were smoking weed out of an aluminum can babysitter in fourth grade.
Babysitter got us high every day for like a month.
That explains a lot.
What?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Paul.
Well, yeah.
Your cycling week before we get too far down the rabbit hole of Jack's psychosis.
Well, yeah, we did Saturday's ride with Bike Fit Sam.
Yeah.
And, I could feel towards the end of the ride, I'm thinking, well, I didn't think we went all that hard. We had some decent wins, but but as we progressed about halfway, I could feel my legs, you know, getting, feeling blocked.
We did about 55, right?
Yeah, but something there was like some intensity involved there.
Yeah.
It's never easy with Sam because he's like.
He's so
asshole.
I mean, but in the best way possible. Sam would actually be honored that you called him an asshole. Right, because it's this suffer until you
drop
die kind of a mentality. And he's just like, okay, you fuckers, here we go. You know, and oh my God. I mean, I think we talked about this on the last show about somebody in the group. There's always somebody in the group who's just like going, I can go again. You know?
Yeah.
Freedom, you know, just charging into the battle every time. It sounds.
Can you imagine what he's like in the bedroom?
Wow, right. Not until now.
A lot going on.
I don't want to even imagine that.
So, yeah. Anyway, this segment brought to you by.
Oh, Manscaped.
Ambassador, Ambassador Cycling. Yeah. Paul. So Sunday.
So Sunday,
you got bailed on.
Yeah, but I didn't know. I saw no response and. There was a big event happening here that that affected Jackson. And Saturday, I got a text from an old coworker of mine that he and his sons were playing down. He says, hey, we're at 8 o'clock. And I said, I'll see if I can make it. And I wasn't going to make 8 o'clock. So he says, well, we just won at 8:30. He says, we just won. We play at 11. So I went out, did, I don't know, 30-some miles and came back and watched them lose. So, you know.
This is Hoop Fest for people who don't know what's going on. It's the world's largest 3-on-3 basketball tournament that's held in our downtown.
I played it 8 years.
Really?
Did you really?
We should build a team.
No, I don't want to snap Achilles. That was like.
It would be the funniest. It would be. We would be out in 38 seconds if I played.
I don't think so.
You lose four of us. Double elimination.
You got any skills?
Tall.
Okay, then what's 38 times 2? We'd be out in 74 seconds because I am terrible. I am the worst basketball player ever set foot on this earth. Huh. Worst. My wife played basketball all through high school and into college, and she
she'll kill you at horse and all that.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. She's played a couple years. And Jackson, you played a couple years in grade school.
I played 1 year, yeah.
Oh, you just 1 year?
Just 1 year, yeah.
Kind of thought it was more than that.
Felt seemed like it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Enough of the chit chat. I got to do say. Does anybody have any intention of racing before September?
My bike is blue, not black. By the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That is a perfect response.
Remember, he was in fourth grade.
It's a fucking perfect response.
So that explains why that came out of left field.
Are we going to race? Cross?
My bike is blue.
Oh, boy. Fourth grade, everybody.
The babysitter's coming to you with an aluminum can going, come on, Jack.
Yeah.
Ride the snake.
I don't know if he should.
Right, this.
That's heroin, right?
Yeah.
That's heroin. Yeah, but yeah.
I have no idea.
But it's a funny joke. You know? Yeah. Sorry. Am I in trouble for saying red?
Yeah, you're, I, you're comments are lighting up. Right?
Just,
yeah.
YouTube just
you
went.
You should watch out.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm trying to find something, but I don't have anything on the radar other than the crit weekend.
Yeah, the crit weekend. The only drawback on that is, you know, there's two races down there. It makes it viable for me, but Vancouver's like. Almost the longest point between Spokane and the state of Washington.
Yeah.
And it's a 35-minute crit.
And gas is $6 a gallon. And, you know, we have one car, and it's the weekend my wife works. So,
I did throw it out there. And I'm about as flaky as the day is long. But that maybe, perchance, you and I just drive down there. And do that.
Our race is at 9 o'clock in the morning. So.
No, we drive down there the night before. And we
stay in my lawn.
We sleep on Jackson's.
On the lawn.
Jackson's lawn.
Are you driving the RV?
No.
Yeah, just 6 miles of the gallon.
Put some wind fairings on it. You know, some wind. but discs on the.
I would be willing to go down there for. I'd be willing to go down there for the 2 days if you know, just a old school kind of.
Go bike racing hardcore.
What about him?
Well,
I'm not going to go.
Jackson's not going to go. Somebody's got to turn their fucking phone on mute. But anyway.
But I got bike stuff coming.
And Jackson, do you have anything on the radar?
Not really. I mean, if there's something in anywhere close, I'll see if I can make
fucking
it.
Cycling.
But, you know, it's weird because it's like it's a bummer that all the racing went away, but it's also like we did. I feel like we did a lot of racing in a short amount of time. And then we. Arrive got results, I will say. Yeah.
We did.
And then, and then it's might be nice to take a little bit of like that racing pressure off and just like ride to enjoy riding rather than like, at least this is me speaking. Cause like I sometimes when I have a race coming up, I begin to ride to gain fitness for racing rather than enjoy the ride. So I'm excited to enjoy like our competitive group rides.
That's cool.
So,
I don't hate that. I don't have a problem with that. I am planning with some fun, not fun rides
right across the state
for a group. Now, you know what? And my Cross Washington ride is being threatened. My wife looked at me last night. She was like, hey, you know, we could easily go up to a local lake / campground, which is 75 miles away, and, you know, spend the week in a beautiful RV spot with this lake out in front of us. And I could see in her eyes, she's looking at me going, do I really have to drive an RV to the next campground ahead of you? Because I was going to fully bike pack the thing. I was going to go full camp mode. But she looked at me and she says, well, I've got that week off. So how about I just bounce ahead of you in the RV and then we have a place for you to stay every night. And I'm like, holy shit, that's not bike packing, but that sounds kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And as time has progressed, she's kind of looked at me going, 10 miles a gallon. I don't really like driving the RV, and I don't blame her because it's big and bulky and, you know, and things like that. And so I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I thought she'd be playing the, well, you did race on our anniversary.
Yeah. Oh, shit. She's got that
card in her back pocket.
I've been fucking up our anniversary ever since we got married because usually my job has a show that weekend and stuff like that. So it's just not even bothered. So enough of the chit chat. This is a podcast focusing on the 2022 Tour de France. I know every cycling podcast out there is probably posting a tour preview show, but this is likely to be the one with the most smartassery, and one with the greatest insight because we are experts.
I'm out of shit.
Yep. Yeah, Jack.
You can start picking.
Yep. So I already got three.
Well, you need one leader.
No, hold on. We'll get there.
Help him start picking.
Oh, no. I want to throw this at him at the last minute.
Hey, I won last time.
Let's get some perspective on our experiences of the tour. So, and a couple of these questions I'm stealing from my friend John Galloway, who's actually posting, who is actually doing a very similar style of show for the Cycling Legends podcast, which I am also a part of. So I feel fine to cross promote and tell people to listen to those shows. They're doing really good stuff over there. So, gentlemen, and in no particular order, Jack just wrote French Dude on his paper.
Third place.
So what is your first memory of the Tour de France? Your first memory. What brings it all into perspective? That maybe not the one that brought you in, but your first really pow. Probably popped into your mind while I was flapping my gums.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to anybody. Oh. I'm talking to you.
You go first.
So
I got to think of this.
Aluminum can, fourth grade.
Don't forget that, folks.
He's got the Alzheimer's already.
Mine was 1985. I saw Paris-Roubaix 1984, and then the next I saw 85 Paris-Roubaix. Then yeah. I saw Tour de France, and that was Greg LeMond and Hinault battle. And then from that on.
That is so fucking hilarious, because I actually have the VHS copy of that race in this house somewhere. Yeah. I don't even know where to play it. But
I have one.
Do you really?
Well, come on.
It's commonly used every day.
It's fine. It's Paul's the VHS.
When he sits down on the toilet, he pushes a button on the wall, and then all of a sudden, you know. Oh, that's your iPad.
Yes.
Yeah. That tour was my first real moment. I had seen 84, but 85 is my true first memory, too.
Who won in 84?
Laurent Fignon. Mm-hmm. God, you were trying to stump. You thought, yeah, like, I'm going to get him here.
Testing it.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
I don't know who.
Who won in 83?
I didn't know who Lel Wilcox was, but.
keep bringing that up.
I'm fucking bitter. 83 was also Fignon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Yeah. Jack, what's your first memory of the Tour de France?
I think the arguments between the interviews with LeMond being frustrated and not being able to
win.
He was very vocal on camera.
Yeah.
And, you know, just throwing his hands, just like, I don't understand, you know.
Do you want me to punch you in the face? Remember that moment? Do you want me to punch you in the face?
Yeah.
You get out of here. Yeah, I'm quoting Greg LeMond directly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was super, super fucking frustrated. And I do remember that. Yeah. Like intensity. I think the next day, you know, there was still some holdback, and then Fignon didn't. I'm sorry, Fignon. You guys got me on that. Hinault, didn't he start to fail?
Yep.
Because of his crash.
Well, I remember the crash in the sprint where he fucking bloodied his face, and it was.
LeMond got the next day. He was in a break with Stephen Roche.
Okay. And they told him to hold back.
And they told him to hold back.
Yeah. Okay.
Paul Koechsle. Paul Koechsle, great tactician, but a terrible manager of people. It's like, man,
too strong personalities.
He'd make a great politician in today's society.
Yeah. So that is also another intense memory is you know, getting up and riding across the line with just blood coming down his face. Yeah. Those were some hard guys. Fuck this shit.
Yeah, no.
No?
They asked him, do you still have a chance to win? He goes, I broke my nose. I still have two legs.
Yeah, as long as I have two legs, I attack or something like that. Yeah. And I always lived my life off of what I thought the quote was, and it was John Tesh's interpretation of the quote.
With music in the background.
No, John Tesh said, as long as I have two arms and
two legs,
it will be difficult for the rest of them, which is not what he said. No. And I've always just like, John Tesh, you keyboard fuck. You did not, you totally messed me up.
Your hero.
John Tesh?
Yeah.
No, why would he be my hero?
He has because his box he, set.
Because I really have a dream of hosting Entertainment Tonight.
Him and Peter Cetera, I thought were your...
Fuck you, Jack. Jackson, what's your first memory of the tour? And this will be something out of...
Like 35 years later.
I think... I mean, I've always been around it because you've always put it on the TV some way, somehow.
Sorry.
No, I was about to say, because it's funny because my fiance also talks about this now with me, which I find a really weird roundabout way of it all coming back around. But it's always been a comfort thing for me being on in the house, especially because in America it comes on early in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and then it comes on at like prime time at like 6.
It cradles your day.
And it is genuinely, cradle is such a perfect way to describe it, because it is, especially being off in the summer, like having done stuff all day and then to come back and have the calming presence of the tour on. That is my first memory. But the first two, like the last tour that I remember was when Lance came back and he got 99. Third that year.
Sure.
Oh, third?
Yeah.
No.
He didn't he get like second or third one year?
When he came back, he won.
He won.
No, when
he
got
He got third.
Contador won when he came back, and he was going to do
it. The second comeback.
Yeah, the second comeback.
I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
You are absolutely right.
He got like, didn't he get second or third?
I think he was third.
I think he was third.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I can't look it up because there are no Tour de France victories listed by Lance Armstrong.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But
he didn't win.
Third place. They wouldn't even list third. I totally thought you were talking when he came back from cancer.
No, when he came back.
Okay.
When he came back.
He should never have fucking come
and
back.
And I was about to say, that is what I think was his undoing.
Yeah,
but
absolutely. 100%.
Because he was going to do it clean.
Yeah. But
but it pissed everybody off. And that's what got... It's like, all right, you fucker. We're going to make sure you are going down.
Yeah. And I remember sitting there watching him race in the Astana kit going, God, I hope he beats Contador. Because I, for some reason, hated Contador. Little did I know that I would hate both of them.
Right. They're both equally bad.
Yeah. I mean. But that's the last one I remember. And I remember like getting so excited for it. And then... The first one that I really cared about was 2019 when Alaphilippe wore the jersey for so long and then Bernal took it. And I was like, I can't believe I was right. I predicted that one. I'll never forget that one.
I didn't realize I had a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How about your favorite memory? Not your first, but your favorite. Jackson, you might have mentioned yours right there.
I'll go first because I went last on the last one. I think my favorite memory is when when I was sitting in my apartment in Portland and my fiance and I were watching the 2020 time trial, and we both of us, not just me, but both of us were going, oh my God, Roglic is he's really losing it. It was just like heartbreaking, but also so exciting in that moment. That was probably one of the most exciting things I've ever seen happen in a tour.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
You guys,
I think it's hard to be cheering for somebody that you're not like 100% vested in for years.
Yeah.
And have somebody else that you could equally be vested in after that. Like that is Roglic and Pogacar. They're very, both very likable, both very like.
Yeah. Slovenian. I'd be cool with either of them winning.
Yeah. And so to watch that was heartbreaking for one. Amazing for the other, their buddies or whatever. Yeah. It's a pretty cool story.
And I remember seeing it too, going, wow, this is like the future of what we're going to see for a while. Mm-hmm. That like
these two
fighting it out.
Yeah. What was the question?
Most memorable.
Yeah.
Most
favorite friend. Favorite memory. Favorite memory friend of the tour. It doesn't have to be a year. It could be just a moment.
It's for me. God, there was fucking 7 really exciting years of Lance, and it's sad to say, but under the circumstances, it was everybody would be lying in this room if they weren't saying, this is an amazing situation, you know, the sport, all that. And then when I know it crashed, but during the process, during the years, it was amazing. The whole world was on board through whether it was Livestrong or people who knew nothing about cycling, and all of a sudden this American's winning.
Everybody had a yellow wristband.
Everybody had everything, and it was all about Lance.
You didn't? I did.
Well, but it's...
I did.
I probably still have one kicking around in some drawer, but, you know, so as sad as it all ended up being, it was the most exciting American racing for me in all those years. And I don't even know if I was racing during those years. Not maybe one of those years.
Yeah.
So...
I was riding. I wasn't racing, but no, I agree. So you're
the last year I raced, we were at Cascade and he won Cascade. He went to Vuelta, got third in Vuelta, and I'm like, and he showed up at Cascade gaunt, just right off of cancer therapy. Mm-hmm. He showed up 15 pounds lighter and fucking skin and bones and won, didn't win a stage, but
dope to the gills.
Probably. Yeah. And then the next, and then the very next year he started his tour wins. So, yeah. You know, for me, it was like, God, I saw a guy go from like near death to getting really good to, oh my God, he got third at the Vuelta. You just don't do that.
Mm-hmm. They were fucking unbelievable tours. We can all probably
they were.
And
they were.
And it's tough because it's America was on top. We were all
if it was
banning
some,
around
if it was
that.
Some Russian dude, we'd be like, fuck you. You're out. You know?
Yeah. But we'd be like, oh, he's I know doping. He's doping.
Yeah.
The whole you, time.
Been doping since he's a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eat that
fourth
bell
grade,
off.
Folks. Yeah. Fourth grade.
Bell off.
They made him. He's not a human.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. I was trying to find a Russian name, and then I went, God, I got to go with the guy from American Flyers.
Yeah.
Yeah, eat that, Belov. Paul, favorite
1987,
memory.
Stephen Roach. Yeah.
Well, he won
Stephen
the
Roach
Triple
won
Crown,
Le Plan.
Right?
Yeah, but it was up Le Plan.
Yeah.
There was a really tough, he was behind Delgado, and Delgado was in yellow, and that's when they used to have the multicolored jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And,
he was wearing
and,
that.
Yeah, he was wearing that. And it was just the whole way. And he went on an early break, and he got caught by Delgado. And Delgado blew past him and on the final climb in Le Plan. And I remember watching it, and I see him shift in his big chain ring, Stephen Roach. And he just, like, puts his head – because he was blown because he was in the break the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And he cut it down to 8 seconds. He still wasn't in yellow. And then 2 days later, I think it was the time trial, and he slaughtered.
He stage where they put him on oxygen, wasn't it?
Yeah, he collapsed. Yeah, the people are like, we're worried about him. And I think the next day was a rest day.
I'm sure there's no drugs involved.
Hey,
I mean, you know.
Because I'm about to follow that up by saying, if you look through the archives of the Pack Filler podcast, I talked to Stephen about that very moment, and he talked
it
about
is,
how deep he had to go
he went
for that moment.
So,
that was one of the hardest
crossed,
moments
he
he'd ever had on a bike.
People were holding him up, and you could see his eyes rolled in the back of his head.
Yeah,
I thought that was admirable, and he had no team that really supported him.
Yeah,
Carrera.
Yeah, Carrera.
They were split with Vicentini,
especially at the Giro. That's where it started and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why he left that year.
Yeah, I can't believe you didn't say 1989. Greg LeMond.
That was cool.
The time trial.
That was cool, but to me, the effort that I like when people go so deep that they pass out of the line, to me, that's cool. LeMond had an advantage. He used tri-bars, so it was spectacular. It was very memorable, but
now that you say that, that was probably, I've told so many people about that particular,
that moment
where like 51 seconds, there is no fucking way LeMond's going to win this tour. The 51.
It's supposed to be a promenade.
How many miles was that time trial?
15.
Yeah, you're not making up 21 seconds on a time trialist because Vignon was good time trialist.
He
wasn't. He
had a boil on his familiar. Taint though.
On his taint?
Yeah.
He had a boil on his taint.
Fuck, he should have stood up the whole thing.
Yeah.
Vignon had a boil on his taint.
Wow. If he used Manscaped, he would not.
Yeah.
Have
there you go. But we're getting no longer.
Oh, that's good.
So. So about 5 weeks ago.
Where were you then? Jesus.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But there was share your favorite ball shaving moment. Well,
so anyway,
let's dig up
Laurent Fignon and ask him about it.
I didn't know about
been happy
the boil.
With a ball shaver.
I didn't know about the boil, but that was fucking.
I didn't know about the ball shaver.
We all stood by the TV and said, "There is no fucking way."
Yeah.
He's making up 51 seconds, and he fucking made it up, and we're like, "It was."
I was at a race.
It was a revolutionary. Like you can't.
On the count of three, do an impression of Kathy LeMond when she saw Greg pass by. Back away from your mics. One, two, three.
Greg.
I don't know.
Not me. I wasn't alive.
I can't.
So,
yeah,
doesn't matter.
All I knew it
aluminum foil.
Yeah.
Aluminum can.
Because she was screaming her head off. Who wouldn't, by the way?
And
who wouldn't?
Aluminum foil. That's
Jack,
my problem.
No offense, but you're a little screwed.
A little.
Now, you know, the funny thing is, I was at a race. It was a stage race.
Jack, you're going to be
and
missed.
At the end of the road race, they announced, Greg LeMond just won the tour. I said,
fuck
no,
man.
This
bullshit,
is, you know,
liar.
No way.
Fake news.
And if that's the case, then something happened.
What,
Vignon
what race
crashed.
Were you at?
It was a Moscow, Idaho stage race.
Huh?
So. And I'm like, no.
I didn't even see the coverage of it.
I had it on tape. I went home and had to watch it.
Yeah, I had to beg friends to send me a tape mm-hmm. of it because none of this shit was on demand.
Yeah.
Jackson, there was a time where we couldn't even watch shit.
You had to watch
Sunday.
It's funny because I was also alive when shit wasn't on demand.
Yeah.
We had to watch Worldwide Sports, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that was CBS. Edition. That was CBS still, I think.
Yeah.
No, ABC.
It was CBS. I don't even know. Yeah. But anyway, so talk to me, you guys, if before we get into our picks and stuff like that, talk to me about what makes a great tour versus what makes a boring tour. Are there elements that fall into place of the years that you've watched where you're going, God damn, that was a good one, or shit, that was a shitty one, that was a boring one. What are the differences? Is it personal investment in a rider? Is it that the attacking style of the race? Is it the parkour? Is it what was it that makes a tour interesting to you? Panel, go for it.
I think that like the closeness of each jersey competition can make it really interesting. Like I said with the 2021, I think 2020 was a crazy year, especially because it was off. It wasn't when it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Which made it interesting, but also it was such a close competitive tour. It was like, it was probably one of the hardest raced tours I've ever watched because everyone's like, this might be the only race we ever get.
Yeah.
But I remember the green jersey that year was super interesting between Sagan and Sam Bennett. Cha-ching. That's what it was supposed to be. and then, yeah, there we go. that one, and then the yellow jersey was super interesting. It was just all a crazy year. I mean, and that kind of reminds me of like the 2018 Vuelta. I remember was super interesting too, or it was 2018, 2019, doesn't matter, but because that was when we first saw that battle begin to happen. And so yeah, I think that just the tension between jerseys can make it really entertaining, but boring were the Chris Froome years. When it was just like he had 5 minutes on the entire field and nobody cared.
Years, the marginal gains, can we probably agree some of the later Lance Armstrong tours became very just the approach, the understanding, the dominance of something like that.
And this is gonna sound really odd. But I kind of believe that I wonder if COVID made racing, at least pro racing, a different game. I think it made it, I don't want to say it made it more interesting, but it almost kind of did. Because everybody, it's so action-packed. It's the young guys just going out for it. It could be their last race. And it's not that I'm happy that COVID came. Don't ever.
No.
But
I think it's a generational shift. I think there became a moment where, fuck you, I'm not waiting for my permission to be an attacking rider in pro cycling. I'm going now. Mm-hmm. And that's this new generation, we've talked about this before, has this mentality that's like, screw you, old man, I'm going. And that's where things have changed.
Yeah.
Paul, Jack, what makes a good tour versus a bad tour?
Well, I was thinking about that even today. At work, not focusing on work. I was thinking about bike racing.
You were at work today?
Yeah, I worked.
I would have called in an inspection.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well, there you go.
Jackson, you and I were the only ones who would get that record. And I love it.
So to me, again, in 87, the Battle of Jerseys.
Yeah.
Jean-Francois Benard was a young hopeful, French hopeful, and he won the yellow jersey on Mont Ventoux about halfway through, and it looked solid. And then the next day, he gets a flat, and I find out later, like a decade later, that there was a pack that he was so cocky and people didn't like him. They agreed to attack, which is not to attack. They didn't really attack, but they didn't slow down for the yellow jersey. And
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
And he was the ever
politics. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's what you get.
So, yeah. So that was interesting. And just the battle back and forth, the yellow jersey with Delgado. And then same with even in 89, Fignon had it. Le Mans had it, and it went back and forth, and the Le Mans was cracking towards the end until he did his time
so
trial.
These on and off the potential winners.
That's one way. Yeah. When you see the battle, instead of somebody holding it, and it's kind of a, there is that cadenza that builds up when somebody like Pagaccia at the last day, mm-hmm. you know, and that's pretty cool. But to make the whole race to see, usually the first week is thrown away. You know, you're just seeing who stays upright and who wins the sprints. That in the old style, you know, there wasn't any decision or selective type of stages. But when they start getting into the meat of things on the second week and it's going back and forth and you see somebody lose a little bit of time, but not enough, you're thinking this person can come back. The more the merrier, the more the switches off from different people up top, that makes it exciting.
So basically what we're all talking about is we're talking about the fact that the great tours need to require an attacking style of some sort or some sort of a on and off leadership. And we don't get them quite often.
Well, you mentioned it with Armstrong and Ineos or Sky at the time. That's the most boring.
That's what you guys were saying. I didn't even need to comment on this, but that is where the time just keeps building by the winner and everybody's shooting for second, third.
Yeah, they just
that's
quit.
The most boring.
And there's this settlement of teams that it's like a fifth place is better than a tenth place, so don't attack. Mm-hmm. Because if it goes wrong, we want a fifth place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what bums me out about stage racing is where we run into this, hey, man, you know, we got a top 10 in the Tour de France.
Yeah.
Keep it mellow.
Let's keep it. It's like the Giro this year. I mean, to finish basically with your winning on the last 2 days of the race is what we're looking for. Or Roglic and Pogacar. Yeah. Or, you know, everything's changed. As long as it's like that. Stage racing becomes way more interesting on a daily basis than the 5-minute win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rapid fire, is this a tour for Tade to lose? In other words, is he in control of his destiny? Yes or no? Mm-hmm. Jackson, yes.
Jack, yeah.
Paul?
I think so.
Okay. So we've all agreed that very, very, the chances are we've all circled that name. When our bets come to push comes to shove. So on paper, we've all had a chance to look at the paper. Jack, maybe a little less, but, you know, fucker showed up late. on paper, everybody. Now keep in mind, we've got every multi-million dollar organization grabbing the top however many, 8 riders, the top 8 riders, multi-million dollar organizations, mm-hmm. picking the top 8 people on their roster for this very specific moment. So people are all at their physical peak condition, right? Mm-hmm. On paper, which of these teams, if you had to rapid fire answer to me, who should be the dominant team of this Tour de France?
Jumbo-Visma.
Honestly, Jumbo-Visma, yeah.
By far. Okay. But the strongest team, every guy on the team is. Mm-hmm.
The more I look at...
Except number 9.
At UAE, UAE has a pretty damn good team. Really Pogacar, Bennett, George Bennett, Mikael Berg, I don't know him, Matteo Trentin.
McNulty.
I didn't know they got George Bennett, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brandon McNulty, Mark Soler, Rafał Majka has been flying.
Yeah.
Now, I was thinking when a couple weeks ago when I saw Jumbo-Visma's entry, I said, oh, fuck, it's the best team in the world. UAE looks unbelievable. And don't even get me started. Castroviejo, Filippo Ganna, Daniel Martinez, Tom Pidcock, Luke Rowe, Garrett Thomas, Dylan Van Baarle, Adam Yates. Holy shit, Ineos.
Like, who's the leader?
It looks like an unbelievable team. Yeah. But we're all going to agree that youth, current fitness, past results are going to show us that Jumbo-Visma is probably mm-hmm. the best team on paper.
And I said this before.
I'm not saying they're going to win.
Yeah, and I said this before we started, and I said I'd say it again, and here it is. I don't think we're going to see Ineos in the top three at all.
Yeah.
Because
really?
Well, it to me, they're relying on...
But Garrett won the Tour of Switzerland.
Kind of
mediocrity. It's not the...
I get what, yeah,
Egan Bernal.
Yeah, it's and they're relying on such a inconsistent Grand Tour rider. Mm-hmm. In, I know I make fun of him all the time, but in a Yates,
yeah, mm-hmm.
a Yates will always blow it. Yeah. So, and I don't think Garin Thomas can go against a Roglic or a Pogacar. It's,
I think it's Martinez or Geraint. It's their leaders, and so. And the key to this, I think, is that climbers are going to have a bunch of time because mm-hmm. there's a 40K TT at the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can lose a bunch of time.
Not a lot of people are talking about. I mean, you look at the profile. You look at the parkour of this tour. Mm-hmm. And it is a fuck ton of climbing.
Yeah.
Fuck ton of climbing. But there's not a lot of discussion of that TT.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a huge breaker.
When is it? The TT?
It's his second to last day.
Yeah. Oh,
perfect.
Yeah.
Well, that explains to me why Bora didn't bring Sergio Higuita.
Mm-hmm.
He could be great, but he can't time trial for his life.
Yeah.
You would have to, again, have a buttload of time before.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could lose. That's heartbreaking, losing mm-hmm. the time trial last Roglic.
So what are some issues? We're talking about them right now, and I just want you guys to bring up any more that's just rapid fire in your head that are popping into this. Some issues that you feel going into this are going to be pivotal to the race. For example, a Roglic-Pogacar duel, the Roglic-Vingo potential battle for leadership, the quick step choice of leaving Cav at home. We got to address that elephant to a certain degree.
Yeah.
The Matthew versus Wout issues, the parkour itself. If you had to pick one or two issues that you were going to say are really going to play key in this race, you know, for the people listening right now, what should they look out for?
Oh, I think the quick step conversation is really interesting. Cause in my thought, when I saw their team announcement, I immediately thought, first of all, no Remco, no Alaphilippe. I don't blame them on that.
And Declercq just tested positive. So he's not going to be
for
there.
COVID?
Yeah, and so Seneschal. Seneschal took his spot.
Could be a fill.
They didn't pick Cav.
Yeah.
Who
did
they fill?
Seneschal.
Florian Seneschal. Yeah. And so I think, I'm going to say it. I think they'll take a stage or two, but they will not take the green. Nowhere near.
Sagan's there.
I agree.
Yeah, but.
I would be a Vanderpool one. Or.
We're going to talk about sprinters here. Yeah. But just the issues. Here.
I think that team is relying so heavily on just taking a couple stages here and there. They're not going to really be at the forefront of anything, which I think is going to be really weird, and especially off of Cav taking that white, red,
right,
red,
British,
white, and blue jersey. Yeah, they're going to...
Wearing that kit and potentially beating Merckx's record.
Yeah.
That's legendary.
Patrick Lefebvre is a guy who will not shy away from media and marketing, and I can't understand why he won't put this guy... just on the team.
The Oakley money, let alone.
You lost Julian Alaphilippe. You lost Leclerc. Both are gone. You're putting all your eggs in the basket of one guy. Give the guy. I mean, even worst case scenario, Mark Cavendish should be one of the best lead out men after Michael Markov in the business.
Yeah.
But if you got one, I can't get inside stage, the mind of it. One stage win.
Yeah. Done.
Then their whole season
has changed.
Is changed. Yeah. I mean, because they've had.
It's been a terrible season.
Yeah.
No, they're the leading in points overall with the relegation. They're number one team. So.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. But they still.
So here's my take on
that'd
it.
That'd be some flash.
Yeah. It's one of those things. Yeah. On a marketing and money wise, I think Cavendish would be a great deal. I don't know what the direction is. I don't blame. Yeah, Jakobsen being in there. I think he has the most wins of any sprinters.
Sure.
So, I mean, they're obviously their team set up for more stage wins. There's only five true sprinting ones, and one I'm going to argue that it may not be, and that's stage two.
Yeah.
And that one is going to be, that's going to blow up. So on Saturday, with 20 kilometers to go, there is a bridge that's 18 kilometers long. They'll have a crosswind for 18 kilometers. It's gonna blow the crap out of it.
That sounds like a Vanderpool Wout,
right.
Bread and butter.
Well, and that's a
Flanders.
Quick step type of thing.
Cav won this most recent Brit National Championship.
He did a good
in
job
in a classic format. He won it.
He's fit.
Yeah, he is without a doubt.
But who's
he's
the field?
Fit as he can.
But, you know, he did it in a non-sprinter way, too, which totally impressive. And I'm not taking away what he did. I mean, he was, I think, over 150 kilometers on a breakaway.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's guys that joined up, and he stuck with it, and it came down to three guys. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he waxed them. But, you know, but still, nevertheless, I think it was probably not an easy call. But I think, I don't know what the relation you have to, I'm being the devil's advocate. As a DS, what's the relationship between Jakobsen and Cavendish? Is there going to create a divide where they don't get any? Mm-hmm. You have a proven sprinter that's won 10 races so far already, and a guy who just won his national championships. I mean,
a proven Cavs sprinter that just won. His, he's one of you.
Cavs won
and he's
stuff
young
this year, though.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, he's won a couple.
Yeah,
but you know, somebody made a comment I thought it was interesting. Not to hog the mic, but. Somebody says, well, just let him roam around and try and pick out a sprint. Well, he doesn't do so well.
It's not his style.
It's not. Yeah. When he lost in the Champs-Élysées, he lost Morkau on this, and he needs that lead out. Not saying he's not capable of winning that way, but he's more successful in those type of sprints with a lead out. So do you give a lead out to what, two guys? That doesn't work.
Who are some of the riders you guys expect to see in green over these at the end of 3 weeks because of there's so much climbing in this fucking race?
Well, I think the man himself, I think Wout van Aert.
You see Wout not being you see Wout being free enough to pursue that jersey.
The team's told
with
him
the
that.
Team objectives.
Yeah, the team's told him that he can go for green, and I think there's no reason why he won't be able to take it. I mean,
it'd be incredible yellow green win.
Yeah, I think he can take it. I think that Vanderpool just came off of a 3 week Giro, and I think that he's going to go for stages, and I think that's his main rival. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jakobsen's going to take a stage or two, but. He's not going to be able to stick in those breaks like Wout can.
Hopefully Wout's got his knee back to full. It's very similar, it sounds like, to what you deal with.
Yeah, seriously. But, I mean, there's not going to be the likes of Caleb Ewan, I don't think, taking it either. Mm-hmm. He'll take
some stages, right?
Yeah.
I hope.
But getting over the hills. So that's to reiterate what Jackson's saying. You know, the thing is you can see Wout is unusual where he can win a time trial. He can still work on the flats, you know, to get, you know, Roglic or Vingegaard up to where they need to, and he just shuts down. He'll be ahead of the Gruppetto. He doesn't have to have GC time.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to free rein. He can sit on anybody's wheel to get the intermediate. I think he's prime for that. They just have to time out where he spends his energy. I mean, let's give up a few points here because this is a crucial stage for climbing. Mm-hmm. I think that can be done.
It's hard because he's like a Sagan-like rider, riding as a domestique for potentially two tour winners.
Yeah.
And that with Sagan, it's never been that mm-hmm. way, you know. Mm-hmm. So
can I ask you guys why you think I'm about to be full of shit for saying the one thing I'm going to say? Look at Team Bike Exchange Jayco. Look at the lineup. And why am I the only one claiming Michael Matthews has a potential to finish this fucker in green?
Oh, he does.
He does. But when was the last time you saw him at the front of a race?
He won green in Switzerland.
So,
Tour de Suisse.
I mean, but.
Oh, so you're going to pull the.
Who was there?
God damn it. Yeah.
I know, see what you're saying.
That's
I see what
tough,
you're saying.
You know, yeah. I mean, I don't put it past him doing something pretty cool. I mean, he's that type of rider.
He's
riding
extremely well.
Yeah.
But extremely well.
I think he's more of that. It's not like I'm calling them heavy by any chance, but I think he's that heavier type of rider like Sagan is. And okay. I think that Wout can do it over there.
Do you want to address the Sagan elephant, Jackson?
I mean, we might
because
as well.
Can I touch on that?
Yeah. So you've got, they brought in Groenewegen. So who do you think they're going to lead on the sprint? So he's going to lose points for the green jersey.
I didn't even see Groenewegen's on there.
So he's going to certainly.
Not that's not going to do squat. The entire team was always dropping back to get that guy back on.
Yep.
And I understand he's fast as fuck. But if you can't get to the final K of a race, mm-hmm. you're useless.
Stage two, he's screwed.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying, you know, who are they going to work for in the sprint?
They should work for Matthews, but they're going to work for
Groenewegen. Yeah, they didn't bring Groenewegen to lead out. So you can see what their strategy is. So I don't think Matthews is going to be a green jersey.
So Bike Exchange is out.
Not in my book, but Jackson, you solely get to address the Peter Sagan issue. I'd play some dramatic music, but I want to simplify it because this is your dude, and he's always been your dude. And I want to know your thoughts on what Peter Sagan's going to be up to. Probably not his last tour, but
yeah, I don't think it'll be his last tour. But I think that he is going to go for the green jersey, and I think he'll get second. In that
you think he'll be up there high enough?
Yeah,
really.
Because I think that he got COVID, but he didn't really get the symptoms of it this time.
He got COVID.
Yeah,
COVID.
And so, I mean, seeing him win his national championship, sure, it's the Slovakian national championships. Yeah, yeah. It's not really
the last 10 years.
Exactly. I think it's been 13 years since someone called Sagan has not worn that jersey.
Mm-hmm. Shit,
that's crazy. but he won that, and it seemed like from the pictures that I saw that he was able to put out some effort. Mm-hmm. And I think that from looking at him at the last, where did he race? Did he race in Switzerland or did he race?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
He raced the Dauphiné?
I can't remember. One of the two.
One of the two, yeah.
Shit, I can't even remember.
I think it was the Dauphiné because he got COVID.
It was. Yep.
But to see him at
Switzerland because ASO still has not had a positive.
You're right.
That's right.
It was Swiss.
Yep, it was Swiss. Yep. But I think that he will, I mean, this is... If we really want to, if the green jersey had another name, we could be honest. It would probably be called the Sagan competition at this point.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to go down. I don't think he's going to just back away. I think he's going to try as hard as he can. And hell, maybe Wout might have other duties throughout this. And I don't know if I'm seeing a lot of other opportunists that have an entire team around the green jersey. So I think, I mean, if you really look at Total Energies, there's not besides, you know, Anthony Torgi,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the only person that can do anything. So I think that they're going to really just band around Peter and hope to get him the green jersey. Because could you imagine if Total Energies got the green jersey? That'd be the biggest result they got.
It'd be great for France.
Yeah.
It would be great for France.
So yeah. I think they're all banding around him just to get him the damn thing.
Who will take the most stage victories in your professional opinions, everybody?
Team-wise or...
Team and or individual. I'll allow you to pick, but because you can't really pick a sprinter because it's not going to happen that often.
I say team wise, Bora Hansgrohe.
Yeah, Bora Hansgrohe. Really? Why so?
They are a stage racing team. They did very well in the Giro. They won quite a few. I think they've got the deck. If they don't win. Get up there on the GC. They have plenty of guys. Look at, you know, Vlasov, Kamna. I mean, all these guys. Mm-hmm. They're good climbers. They're good, you know, rulers or, you know, that type.
Probably pumped up.
Niels Pollitt had a long break. Yeah. He won last year in the stage. Marco Haller. I think they have it. And what's his name? Schachmann is there.
Okay.
So anybody else?
You love Schachmann.
I think I think team wise, Israel Premier Tech is a really interesting team to look at. Jakob Fuglsang won't win the 3 weeks,
but for an old guard team that wants to go out on high notes and just blast off fireworks left and right.
Yeah, Mike Woods. I mean,
how amazing would it be to see Chris Froome do something?
It'd be nice.
I'd love to see him win something. Mm-hmm. Win a stage.
Just a stage. Yeah, yeah. I do remember, Paul, you mentioned Stephen Roche, and Stephen Roche, a couple years after his victory, he won a stage, and I remember seeing that going, all right, that is so cool, you know, and not in some condescending sort of a way, but in a way to see the grand champions who, you know, I don't think it was his, it might have been his last tour.
I think it was his last tour. He had a couple other showings. He might have won, or
he was back
up
with
there.
Carrera.
Yeah, he was back with Carrera
after the Fagor and the Tonton Tapis team.
He was there, or I even won maybe two stages.
Yeah.
Or maybe just one.
I think he just won one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was there, you know, a couple of times in the Giro. Yeah.
Israel's a pretty good team, actually.
It is, but it is an old guard. We agree? Mm-hmm. I can't believe I'm going to say
new
old
team,
guard.
Old
you know,
guard.
For a lot of these
what?
Guys. Yeah.
Newish.
Oh, sweating out there, boys.
4-year-old
sweat
team.
Better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Boys, best keeps.
Let's talk about the Americans for a second. I mean, just the riders that popped into my immediate vision, Mateo Jorgens, Sepp Kuss, Joe Dombrowski is in the tour.
First time.
His first tour.
At 31.
And Quinn Simmons, the man who hopefully we can start to say his name.
And he won the Mountains jersey.
Won the fucking Mountains jersey. Who do you think will be the top American to finish this tour?
Nielsen Paulus.
I forgot to mention him there.
He got fourth at Swiss in Tour de Suisse. I think it's a pretty good sign of what he's going to be.
And I agree because they don't really have any obligation. I think Brandon McNulty has potential, but he's got obligations.
He does.
He's got obligations. Yeah. And I think a little less obligations would be Sepp Kuss. So I would say Sepp would be my.
Nah, Sepp's going to have way too many obligations.
Yeah. He's going to have a lot of obligations, but I'm gonna say he's going to be the highest ranked American.
I agree with Jackson on Nielsen Paulus.
Yeah, I do too.
That's fine.
Now, before I go past it, we have to address quick response. EF kit for the tour, just released. I sent it to you guys.
Did you send it
to
me?
It's the classic Palace, whatever it is, collaboration that they did. This year, actually, a really cool cause for it, dealing with a women's competition in the Women's Tour de France this year.
Oh.
And I'm going to sneeze. But
I did
sneeze. Excuse me. I did that on mic. Yes or no? Beautiful. I guess I'll say yes or no. Paul's already shaking his head.
Why not?
I tell you what, I don't, those green goblin things.
What the fuck
are
those things?
I don't know.
Are they designers? Are they dinosaurs?
I don't know. They're supposed
dinosaurs.
To symbol?
Dragons.
I just came up with
what though?
I just
what
came up symbol? With the name. They're dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
To me, it when I look
a
at that
dollar that's every good. Time somebody says that.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah, don't hurt yourself, kid.
To me, I thought about some cheesy anti-congestion. This is like they symbolize
what's
mucus.
That? Oh, it's the mucus guy from the
commercial. Yeah.
Mucinex. That's what I thought about.
Mucinex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same Mucinex. Color. Everything.
Hey, I got some phlegm for you.
Yeah.
You want some phlegm?
So you don't like phlegm. It. No. Jack, what
hate
do you
it.
Think?
What's the question?
The kit.
Oh.
That, whoops.
God, you know, too many aluminum cans, man.
Aluminum cans, fourth grade, people.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I mean, you expect this out of them. So
the green
sure.
weed goblins,
why
Jackson.
Why not?
Jack, whoop.
Can happen all night.
Your name. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus. I shouldn't have smoked
either.
That meth back in the day.
I never did.
I never touched this stuff.
Jackson.
Why do we, it's funny.
Yeah?
I think it's first of all a really cool cause, a reason why they're doing it with the first women's tour in a very long time. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's kind of making a commentary on the fact that Absolutely. It's like, why do kids have to be so serious? Mm-hmm. It's funny. Why the hell do they put dragons on there? They have dragon teeth around the brim of the helmets. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all funny. It's not supposed, I don't think it's supposed to be cool. I think it's supposed to be funny.
There is no such thing as bad publicity.
Yep.
No.
I'm Good, saying yeah. that now, and it's been said a million times.
Well, I bought a Festina watch, and that proves the fact.
Yeah. I used to shop at 7-Eleven.
Drug dealers.
Yeah. but the, I think the point here is every year Jonathan Vodders releases this, a gigantic portion of the internet gets so angry about the, you know, the design, and another gigantic portion of the internet says, holy shit, I'm buying it. Mm-hmm. Everybody talks about it. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Vodders,
he's a master.
Whether you like him or not, is a brilliant tactician when it comes to making money with little money invested, because he doesn't have the budget that these massive teams do. He doesn't have the riders that these massive teams do. But you see that kit and you notice it. Whether you hate it or whether you don't, you see it. And that's fucking brilliant business. That's brilliant business. So how do you beat Tadej Pogacar, gentlemen? How do you beat him? If you are an individual or you are a team, how do you fucking change this from a potential boring tour to an exciting tour?
Well, I think it's apparent from his tour of Slovenia. He's going to beat himself with his tires that he hates.
So just make sure you're his tire sponsor and you send him shitty tires.
He does not like his tires. Yeah. I think the only thing is probably mechanical, or he could probably have one. He does not like heat, and there is a heat wave going on.
Yeah.
And I think that's something to watch, because that's something he's even confessed. Yeah, I don't do well in the heat. So, you know, he could have a bad day in the heat and things go sideways. And then the 40K TT comes and he crushes everybody anyway.
Yeah. But he crushes everybody but Roglic. In a 40K TT, I guarantee
they're going to be close.
Roglic is
the Olympic
champion. Do you guarantee TT? Well,
sorry, that was a dad joke. That was fucking horrible.
If anybody can put some time on him, even if it's Roglic early on in the race, And even if they're like fucking, you know, fourth and seventh place for the first week or two, but if there's any like fat there of time initially, then that's how you're going to beat him. If you leave it to 2 seconds, 5 seconds, or, you know, less than a minute in the last TT, you're probably going to lose. So no matter who's in second.
Jackson, how do you beat him?
You don't. It's tough at this point, because it's like, Jack, you were mentioning that
almost Merckxian.
Well, yeah, and I was going to say, Jack, you mentioned that you leave any sort of time with him. Okay, probably the most dangerous situation you could probably have is letting an attacking Tadej Pogacar go. Last year? Yeah. How that's how he got the yellow, or got that such big time gap. It's like he attacked on a mountain stage that had flat in it, and then he gained like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
He's a generational talent that is almost like impossible to beat at this point. Cause it's like Paul, you were mentioning, it's like, oh, you get time, wait till that TT blows everybody else out of the water. Like, he's got to crash out of the race at this point to not win it.
Really?
It's kind of how it feels.
I think there has to be an opportunity such as Jumbo Visma with Roglic and Vingegaard, where you have two people within striking distance.
Yep.
And you've got to have,
he doesn't know which
that's,
one's
that striking one's distance which. Has to be looking close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you just two prong it. That's the I think that's the only way you can pull it off.
That's true, but they have to be strong enough to put them into that situation,
mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's nothing more frustrating than watching.
And you only got six more guys to help
attack.
You do that. Yeah.
Now attack again. Yeah. Yeah. And attack again is like everybody just waits and lets them rest, and then they I'll do attack.
Or they're just going so far into the red that everybody's suffering and nobody can attack.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And they're just like limping up the hill.
I think what you were saying is, it reminded me, Roglic is very much more of a traditional rider. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I can bring that back tomorrow. And then he has a good day, gets a good massage, whatever. Pogacar is so unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fun bike racing.
You could, one day you'd expect him to, you know, somebody else to be stay in the leader's jersey, and I think he just like a surprise. He's a surprising rider every day. You can't.
You know he's going to win. You just don't know what day.
Or why. Or
yeah, or how.
Or how. Mm-hmm. Or, you know. And it's big. It's never small. It's always like the one thing that
and makes then he's the up race. There, and mm-hmm. then everybody's trying everything to knock him off, and he just seems untouchable.
Can I say that I caught a reflection of myself in my shadow this weekend, and there was a tuft of hair coming out of my helmet, and I didn't tuck it in. Because I was just like,
fuck, oh, right up here.
Anymore. Yeah. No, it was not straight center.
He does straight center.
Oh, mine was. Oh, no. It was just off to the side. And I saw it and it was sticking out of my helmet. And I went, fuck yeah, I look cool right now.
Yeah.
That's become the cool thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any port in the storm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, is that not?
Look at this. Huh?
Yeah.
That'll get the ladies.
Check it out. Yeah. I'm cool now. I'm dropped. So here's our deal. I looked up from last year because, you know,
you do
three quarters of this panel is old.
Does research.
And one quarter of this panel obviously had a lot of weed based out of aluminum cans from his babysitter.
You. Fourth grade, everybody.
Fourth grade. I got over it.
You're Jackie. Yeah. You're Jackie.
I didn't end up on the streets.
She's just like, it's good shit. Last year we picked one leader, one sprinter, one outsider, and one opportunist. When I say outsider, it was not of the obvious top riders. Somebody usually with a one in their number, you know, the 81, 91.
It was four we're picking?
Yeah, four riders.
Yep.
So, and we awarded points for each five points for first, second, 2 points for second, and 1 point for third. We did that throughout the entire tour. And we also awarded 50 points for the yellow jersey at the culmination of the entire thing, which could completely just basically decimate everybody. And I can change that if we want to tonight, right now, tonight. And we also awarded 30 points for the green or the polka dot or the white jersey. Should we change those points for the jersey, or should we keep that as is?
I think it was fair. What do you guys think?
What?
Says Paul, the guy who loses every year.
I know, but Jack's, it was a fair call.
Jack's skull baked right now. Yeah. But yeah, yeah.
Aluminum cans.
Yeah.
That's the theme of the show.
Yeah.
Going, no more carbon. Yeah. We're going back to aluminum. Anyway.
Fourth grade.
So do we want to tweak? Opportunist is just like, somebody who can potentially.
I mean, that's an Alaphilippe or but so a stage,
let's agree,
stage winner.
Let's agree Nairo Quintana is probably an opportunist now. He's not going to win the whole thing.
What?
A Guillaume Martin is an opportunist. A
Peter Sagan.
Anybody on Israel Primertek.
Sagan.
Is an opportunist, we could probably say. Okay. So we got four riders, and you are stuck with those four riders. We don't do this mid-tour transfer day bullshit. If the person crashes out, you're fucked.
Pick someone
else? Oh, my God. We didn't even address the COVID demon that could potentially just wipe this entire race out.
Well, the thing is,
and
Garrett
Thomas wins his second tour.
Yeah, right. Most of Jumbo already got COVID, right? So they're good to go for a while.
I don't think they got it. I think they pulled them because they were... It was
probably
one person was exposed.
Yeah, and they never said who.
They've been the most. No, I don't want to say militant, but
very careful
about COVID protocols.
Right.
And so what we would do is, and by the way, and this is for everybody at home too. You can pick your four riders.
You are welcome
to absolutely
text me.
But don't text me. But here's the deal. You can if you want to play along, I'll be willing to throw in a pack filler jersey as well as a pair of Gooder sunglasses into the mix to the people who win. To the individual who wins.
I don't even have that.
I don't even have 2022 glasses.
You don't.
I'm wearing the old shit.
Yeah. You must post your picks to our Facebook page stick it to the Facebook page because most of our listeners are old. By Thursday at midnight, and you need to keep track of your own points. We're going on honor code but if you post your picks, I can go back and obviously do the math. So,
well, you are an English teacher.
You're right. So, for each stage, we're going 5 points for first, 2 points for second, 1 point for third. We okay with the feed?
5-3-1.
We're getting some comments.
Good ones?
Negative ones?
Negative ones?
from some not so desirable people. I'll let you look when you're ready.
Bring it.
No, it's like sexual.
Oh, really? Nice. Yeah. Uh-huh. Really?
I'll just leave it at that.
I'll handle that later.
There we go.
So, stage.
We got pervs paying attention to our live feed.
We have a bot commenter.
Oh, really? So I can't tell them to fuck off because they won't understand. And they'll just hear the word fuck and they'll automatically want to keep going with it. So I should probably stop saying that.
Yeah.
Quit being boobs.
Fuck.
You dickheads.
There you go.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
So stages 5, 2, 1, 5, 3, 1.
5, 2, and 1. Okay. And then the final jerseys are 50 for yellow, 30 for the other three. So at the end of the tour, you could get a 50-point bump. So everybody's got to keep track of their own points.
So 50 for the win.
Yeah. So that's going to be, you know.
30 for.
Your rider would have to win 10 stages to equate.
Right. But you said 30 for what?
30 for the green or the polka or the white.
Oh, so the sub-jerseys.
Each of those jerseys gets 30 extra points. All right. So we got four riders. Everybody gets to pick four riders. So let's start off everybody picking their leader, the person they think is going to walk away with the Tour de France. And we should just completely negate the entire point of this because we're all going to pick on count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Roglic.
Tadej Pogačar, right?
Yeah. No, I'm picking Roglic. Oh, okay. It's the only way to beat you guys. So
I agree.
He's the second. Potentially... I was gonna go with Vendegaard, but yeah. I mean, I'm not picking Pogačar because you're all fucking.
I was gonna get crazy on the bandwagon.
I was gonna get crazy.
Are you jumping on the bandwagon,
Jackson? You're Tadej.
Tadej Pogačar. Yeah.
Paul.
Tadej.
I'm gonna go Tadej also because every year I play it safe, I always get fucked. So in other words, three of us are gonna basically negate the 50-point bonus.
And that's why you played that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I always had whether you guys were doing
this. Is where I think the shit's gonna hit the fan. Your sprinter. Who is the sprinter you pick is going to win
Cavendish.
Green. Jack automatically lost. Unless something amazingly happened. You always win this shit. Jack.
I try hard.
So sprinter, Jackson.
Wout van Aert.
Wout van Aert. Paul.
I went with Jakobsen.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fabio Jakobsen. Fabio? Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I don't know why I had a blank. Jack?
MVP.
Matthew Vanderpool.
Yep.
And I'm going with Michael Matthews.
Wow.
Tom Ben.
Okay. That could change the game.
That could change the game.
Yeah.
Outsider, not the obvious top riders of the team. And I asked you guys for permission to do this outsider. So you guys can go if you want.
Are we not picking a 1, 2, 3, first, second, third?
No.
We're not picking a podium.
We pick four riders. Right. Four riders total. Jackson. Outsider.
Roman Bardet.
Good choice.
Was my initial third place
French. That's what
dude.
French guy
French
is.
French dude was yeah. my Bardet.
You gotta go with the French.
But then I...
That was my...
Who'd you pick, though, Jack?
All right, Moss.
For your outsider.
Henrik Moss.
Interesting.
Paul?
Vlasov.
Alexander Vlasov. I picked Ben O'Connor from Age d'Azur, which I always said at AG2R.
Mm-hmm.
AG2R.
I was going to pick Paul Barguil.
Paul approved it because he's riding a BMC.
Yep.
So, and finally, our opportunist.
He forgets that.
Our opportunist. Somebody who can just kind of grab something here and there. Maybe a surprise.
Sagan.
Peter Sagan.
Sure.
Okay. Paul?
Roman Bardet.
Nielsen Paulus.
God, I should have picked him. But I circled this before the show started, and I picked Florian Seneschal from Quickstep.
Wearing the French jersey.
Yeah. So
in the end, I mean, if you pick an opportunity, how do we determine that they... If they win a stage, they get five points. So
if they win a jersey, then the jersey points.
If they win a stage and a jersey.
So the most points of your opportunities gives you the most points.
The most point at the end wins the whole fucking thing.
Right.
So, yeah.
What if they win most aggressive rider? Should we give like 10 points?
That's a
tiebreaker.
A good point.
Like a red number?
Yeah.
God, that should be a fifth one.
I got to research that one.
So maybe Well, no, that we're not adding another rider.
No, I'm saying like what happens if like you're
one of our riders wins gets, most aggressive.
That's not our category.
Every day they get a red number.
No, like you know how at the end you get, like a rider gets a red number as the most aggressive rider of that tour.
Mm-hmm. There is a winner for the most aggressive. Yeah.
10 points.
Isn't that one of the
jerseys? Listeners who haven't listened this far are fucked.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Listen to the whole show. I would say that, I don't know. It could be our tiebreaker.
Yeah. Okay.
And we can, we can't conceal it. We have to come up with it at least by next show. How about that? Because
I'll do it right
opportunists,
now.
Those guys aren't winning stages. They're in the break. It's how many times they're in the break.
But they're animators, and we encourage
it doesn't
that.
Have to be animators. They could just go into every single break.
Well, I'm talking like what, I'm not saying we pick extra riders. I'm just saying like what happens if one of our riders gets it.
Yeah. So I'd say that's a tiebreaker. That's a tiebreaker. Yeah.
Okay.
Gentlemen, what are we going to place on the line here? I've got some suggestions that just popped into my head. Okay. We can make it personal. We could say, hey, we're all picking a charity and everybody else has to donate to that charity. That's nice and a great thing to do. We could have a beer mile. The loser has to do a beer mile
running
on their trainer, which is a distance. I mean, we're going to go farther than beer mile. It'd probably be a 3 mile where after every, no, 4 mile where after every mile on a trainer, you have to slam a beer and we have to pick the beer. Maybe it's like 411 or something like that. I'm looking at Paul because Paul's never done well at this. We could, which would be a hilarious video. You know, if we had somebody hopping off their trainer, sprinting across a distance, grabbing a beer, chugging it, sprinting back to their bike and seeing how fast they could do a mile. I could potentially contribute with that. That would be hilarious. We could do go back to the Mount Spokane times two, but a certain person can't attend because that person almost tore his face off last time we were there.
Roger.
I'm out of here. Yeah.
You guys are all, that's why I said that.
Yeah. Are we willing to all agree upon it? And by the way, we have to set a deadline. Like the second week of August, this has to be completed. The punishment has to be completed by the second week of August. Can we all agree on that?
Sure.
Even Jack, even if you're not here, we're going to make sure you have to do it.
Should we throw out
ideas?
Like some ideas from the listeners?
Yeah, or throw out some ideas and have the listeners kind of like
for
pick
a punishment.
Their,
but sure.
Well, the bot's going to pick something sexual.
Yeah,
the bot's going to say we have to cut our dicks off and shove it up our own. Yeah, exactly. Something like that. Is he still there?
It's not really words. It's just like emojis.
Right on. Nice.
Lots of eggplants.
Karsten.
Is it Karsten?
Get off line.
It's Karsten.
Yeah.
Is the bot named Karsten?
Fucking.
A bot named Karsten.
So do we, none of those obviously struck you, the ones I threw out there.
I don't know. It's everybody's looking at me. It'll be me again.
No, it might not be you.
It could be. I'm the one that loses.
So, okay. Do we give it a week?
Yeah,
let's give it a week.
And then, because we've all agreed to it. So no matter what, the loser has to do whatever comes up. So to you, the listener, if you want to vote for one of the ones I just recommended, or if you have something even better that we could all vote on and agree upon. So my other my suggestions could be the easy way out and a very beneficial way of a charity that we could all donate to. The second one is the beer 4 mile on a trainer, which would be, as I said, it'd be a funny video where you slam a beer every mile, but that's why we're doing it on a trainer because you don't want to die.
You don't want to fall over.
But just like the running beer mile, but this isn't every lap, it's every mile. So there we go. And the other one is to ride Mount Spokane twice in one day, which fucking sucks. And I could honestly say that maybe you have to ride Mount Spokane twice in one day and we can be at any given point in time on the course and throw shit at you, like water or shitty beer or anything like that. And
urine?
You have to wear the capes. Maybe not urine.
Water balloons full of urine?
Yeah.
Cap water in a super soaker.
Yeah.
A super soaker full of urine.
And we can invite
five guys to fill it.
Yeah.
God.
Not me.
Oh, in your year, and it'll take 45 minutes to get started.
Yeah. So, as I stated earlier, if you want to play along with us, pick your riders. Make sure you post them to our Facebook page by Thursday at midnight. So, everybody, how are you going to watch? How are you going to watch? What's your method?
GCN.
GCN.
So,
GCN.
Yeah. I have to get cable at the flip. We ordered it to arrive on the first.
Now, GCN is only...
I got that on my iPad.
But
so
GCN,
I can,
you can't watch unless you have a
VPN. In the United States.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to do
You're
that.
Stuck with Peacock.
But so it starts the second or the first?
It starts Friday.
This Friday.
Ooh. So I think our You're coverage excited, starts Jack? Friday. I'm leaving on Thursday, so I think our coverage starts Friday.
So live in the morning, or do you ignore social
Three
media and wait till it's over?
Three times
live in the morning, Paul, Jack?
All day long.
All day long. Jackson?
Wait, don't look at anything.
You don't look at anything.
No.
I try to catch it live in the morning, and I will do that.
You guys don't have a job during the summer, though.
Yes,
he
I
has
do.
A job.
He does.
What, have a daycare job.
I have a job. I'm a podcast
He's actually
host.
At work
I'm
before I
I'm building an
do.
Empire.
Yeah.
But you're researching all week, watching the tour.
Damn right.
Three times a day.
Damn right. I'm on two podcasts. I'm a fucking media legend.
Oh, I didn't mean to laugh.
You should quit. Okay.
You should quit your day job.
Yeah. The cash is just rolling in. We will, of course, be here weekly to talk about the race. You are always invited to play along with us following the live stream, unless you're a bot perv. Commentating on social Karsten. Media or YouTube, unless you're a bot perv.
Yeah.
Calling the show directly. Or our phone, by the way, is listed on our Instagram page, and I have that here, but I probably won't answer it. And sending us good old email, patrick@packfiller.com. Like, subscribe, tell a friend, and enjoy the tour, everyone. Jack, are we going to see you in person before the end of
Vancouver?
August?
Are you coming to Vancouver?
Well,
can you do a show in Vancouver?
On this show.
Oh. Can you do a special show in Vancouver? Can I do a Zoom?
Yeah. You can always
we
can Zoom
So we
in.
Could, let's figure out the Zoom thing. I'm going to be gone all summer, but I don't have a weekend. I don't have a schedule, so I can be here. Like my weekend here in Spokane could be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
What?
So we'll see. We'll see what I can do. But
Bring
when
your bike.
I get my bike,
yeah.
I would like to do That'd some show sort us. Of. Show y'all
reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would be.
I mean, I got some pictures of the head tube. If you want to see it,
I don't know. You just reached between your crotch.
You
there.
Did. Did. You right kind of that. Massaged your thighs when you did that, and it was kind of odd.
Yeah,
I didn't like that.
My we do have a TikTok, tube. By the way. I posted a TikTok today, so maybe we'll post Jack's bike reveal. On
TikTok. I'm pretty excited.
At Pack Filler.
Yeah, Pack Filler. Is that what it is? The other, I got to get rid of the other two because they're me in the car making just random comments.
Maybe I can post the bike somehow to you from my Instagram pictures or something. And
Holy
you
fuck, you're old.
What?
Guy, can I post from the Instagrams to your photos and then how do I cross
I'm
over?
I'm just going to text you.
Where's the power
I'm texting
button?
You.
And why when I press this computer on button and my cup holder comes out?
What the?
That starts the car.
You guys subscribe, tell a friend, and enjoy the tour. Here we go. You don't need to listen to the other podcast because ours just covered everything. There we go. Talk to you guys next time.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.